All right, our next session is IRA Energy Tax Credits, and we have with us Kimberly and Susan and myself. We should not be trusted at all, but we're going to give you as much information as we can on the energy credits and how we're dealing with them. So I'll let Susan kick it off.
Oh, well, thank you, Jody. Our brief agenda, Kimberly, if you want to drive to the next slide, we're going to try to give you a brief overview of the law. I know a lot of us have heard, and may be well-versed in the provisions and some of the credit opportunities that we have. So we'll do a brief overview of the rules, but really we want to focus a lot of our attention on how we are, the processes we've all put in place, or how we're going through and determining the energy credits at our particular universities. Go ahead to the next slide, please. So in the IRA, of course, the IRS, some of these credits existed for a while, but what happened in the IRA was that they are new and expanded credits the big provision for us, for exempt organizations, was the direct pay election, because previously we were not able to take the credits unless we actually generated UBIT, or it was a UBIT activity that was driving the credit. So this direct pay election has opened the door for us to actually get a payday from the IRS. So that's why we don't care, or why we do care about these provisions. And now that we can get the direct pay, even if we don't have a UBIT liability. They also expanded, and we'll go through some of the direct pay. Given some examples there, but actually on the next slide we'll have more examples in the code sections. But the other thing the IRA did was expand the 179D deduction. And while we can't take direct advantage of the 179D in a lot of cases, it did expand it and may help in our negotiations with our designers and planners. So on the next slide, here's a list of the credits, the code section that they're listed under, and the form currently where you can claim it on the tax return. And some of the keynotes is that these are all the ones that are eligible for the direct pay. And some of them, like the energy credit, is Section 48, but then the clean electricity investment credit in 48E, some of them piggyback off, and that one starts for years after 12/31/2024. So some of these go into effect in 2025, and other provisions sunset in the end of 2024. And let's see, the clean one note on the commercial clean vehicle credit, 45W. Not only does this apply to actual vehicles that can go on the road, but it also includes mobile machinery. So things that may not be roadworthy, but that you have that can be electric. Think maybe lawnmowers or other types of vehicles that are not used on the road. The only caveat with this is that under the provisions, it does require a VIN number. And some of these non-road vehicles don't necessarily have a VIN number, so there's a question on whether a serial number would apply in these cases. Go ahead to the next slide. So we talked, and I alluded to, you know, it's ever-changing, and Treasury keeps issuing guidance. And here is some of the guidance that has been issued to date. And I would like to point out that to date was as of May 10th. Because that's when I did this slide. But some of the things that have come out, most recently there was a notice 2024-48, which was issued actually this week. And the IRS continues to issue guidance and direction on certain points in the law. So next slide. So some of the key guidance that has been issued is the final regulations that were issued under Section 6417, which is the provision for the direct pay election. And this applies to the direct pay applies to taxable years, or the regulations apply to taxable years ending on or after March 11, 2024. As with any final guidance, you can follow the final guidance prior to this date if you choose, or you can follow any notices or proposed regulations that were issued.